This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:08 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Now, it feels like we've been talking about nothing but politics for a while now, but things have really picked up since Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin officially resigned. And really, I mean, if you just talk to your neighbour, talk to your family, take a peek on social media, check out your WhatsApp groups. I think there has been a lot of anxiety and anger over the state of affairs in Malaysia. So we wanted to talk today about how this is affecting our mental health and basically what we can do to manage that.
Yes, because you say picked up, but really it's just the latest climax, if one wants to say, from a year-long sort of confusion of politics and backs and forths and trying to understand the constitution, trying to understand where people stand, who we should be thinking about supporting. So it's been a lot, right? It's been a lot. It's also coming against the backdrop of the pandemic. It's coming against a time when a lot of this isn't really in our hands because none of this is being decided by a vote, for instance. But just to bring you up to speed, so the MPs have had till 4 p.m. today to submit their statutory declarations to the palace, and that's supposed to state whom they support to be the next prime minister. This is coming on the back of the Agong and his deputy meeting with leaders of political parties yesterday. And essentially now it's a waiting game. And in many ways, I think waiting is something we've been doing for a long time.
Yes. As you rightly point out, this is happening with SDs once more. This is happening with shuttles and WhatsApps going to the palace. And none of it really involves us, the people who voted. How many years ago is it now?
40? I don't know.
Something, you know, something like that. And anyway, in that time, we've also had the results of our vote seemingly invalidated, right, by what's happened. So all of it, I think, is contributing to the sense of frustration, to a sense of anger, but also to a sense of helplessness, because it does not feel like there is anything more that can be done. And also, while we have occasional glimpses of hope when we speak to younger voices in particular, newer, fresher faces on the political scene, and you think, ah, okay, maybe this is how things will change. For the time being, it often feels as if, well, it's all more of the same, that we're talking, we're having the same conversations that we had pretty much a year ago and more or less for the same reasons because of the same people. And I think that can result in a sense of, we said deja vu yesterday, but also just a sense of what's the point? And that's a very dangerous mindset to get into, partly because of political engagement, but also I think because of how it ends up impacting the rest of your mental health, right? The way in which you approach your day to day.
What's the point is something I'm hearing from a lot of people, and not even in a flippant way. It's a real sort of, well, does any of this matter? And you're right, that impacts the choices you might make. It might impact how you choose to go from day to day. I'm just thinking about the fact that even the things that inspired me or gave me hope over the course of the last year. If you want to talk about Kita Jaga Kita or Rakyat Jaga Rakyat, if you want to talk about the Bendera Putih movement and how so many Malaysians rally behind these things. If you want to talk about youth movements, whether it's Undi 18, whether it's even the Lawan protests, all of those things have their roots in things that are not pleasant. All of those things have their roots in things that go back to that idea of what can we do? A lot of this is frustrating. And yeah, I certainly am looking for answers in terms of how to manage this, because it isn't always the easiest. We do this for a job every day, and it isn't always the easiest.
And yet, even for people who don't do it for a job, I think it's week in, week out, it's day in, day out. Mm. I think, you know, I think in times of crisis or in times of uncertainty, the have you eaten question, which is the usual opening when you see family or friends, sometimes is replaced with, so, how? Did you see the news? You know, and that can be quite difficult to disengage from. And at the same time, yeah, you know, you want to stay engaged, you don't want to get too tired, but at the same time, the news may be getting you down. So that's where we find ourselves. But we wanted to know, On your part, how has Malaysian politics impacted your mental health? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about what else but politics, but more specifically, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it all later on in the show, we wanted to know, how has Malaysian politics impacted your mental health? Are you finding that to be the case? You can let us know. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss this is Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, consultant psychiatrist at the University of Malaya Medical Center. Dr. Amir, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, how are you guys?
Not bad. How are you?
Still surviving.
Yeah, that seems to be the answer of many. And I think that's a good spot for us to start, because we were talking earlier about how anecdotally it does feel as if there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of anxiety because of what's happening politically. What have you observed among your own circle and online? What kinds of conversations have you been having?
Well, definitely, they've been really not kind to us in causing more anxiety as a whole. I think if you're looking on social media, you can see the mood is rather anxious in a way, because there's so much uncertainty as it is with COVID-19 Delta variant. There's a lot of uncertainty to begin with, and then it doesn't help when there's also a little bit of political instability that we're having at the moment. So definitely anxiety is increased, and I think it's just further increased as a result of what's happening at the moment.
So what is the relationship between these larger external events, such as right now this political instability, and our mental and emotional health?
Well, I think the main issue that happens is anxiety. And we know that one of the reasons of anxiety is uncertainty. So at this point of time, a lot of us are trying to find some level of certainty in what we do in the situation that we are in. So in terms like this is something that's beyond our control, isn't it? We're not those people that make these policies. In a way, we are unable to do much apart from what we've done before in the past, which is vote. So now having a situation where we are unable to rectify it can, for some people, cause a huge number of uncertainties and therefore result to an increased level of anxiety for certain people. So I think this is where we are stuck with. And I think before this, we were really uncertain with the environment due to COVID-19. We had some level of certainty when we followed the SOPs. But then, the moment we had a Delta variant where everything that we thought of started to crumble a little bit, then we became a little bit more anxious again. And then slowly, as we got a little bit more information about the variant, and we became a little bit more certain of what we need to do, for example, ventilation, longer confinements, quarantine, for example, then again, reduce some of the anxiety. And then now we're having this new issue that's come up, which might affect us mentally.
And given that we can't change the situation, how can we then manage those feelings?
Well, I think this is where one of the ways to actually manage is to develop some level of certainty. So be a little bit more informed about the process. I think most of our media outlets have actually shared what the process is after this, once the Prime Minister has resigned and what happens next. So having a little bit of idea of what goes on creates a bit more certainty and reduces some of the anxiety. Again, being informed about who are the major players also might play a part. Of course, some of us might have certain emotions towards that, but I think knowing the process itself definitely reduces some of that. But it's really important that we not only stay engaged, but be flexible in what we receive and make sure that you receive the information from the right sources. Again, this helps in reducing some of the uncertainty and anxiety that we might be facing.
So in terms of that sense of anxiety, right, the other thing that I've noticed, and certainly a lot of people talk about, is a fear or anxiety of the future. Because for many people, the events unfolding now point towards a future that they might not necessarily want. How can one cope with those kinds of fears?
Well, again, this is really difficult because, as I shared just now, we are uncertain about, we feel that we are unable to do much apart from voting. And most of us had actually done that, and we are quite content with what we've done with that as well, right? If you voted for A or B, doesn't matter. Then, but you've done your part. You know, the ones that might not have, then they will even be in a, left in a bitter, difficult situation unless you purposely decided not to vote for whatever reason. I think at this point of time, it's really about being a bit more hopeful, despite that it's being a little bit difficult, because that's all we can do at this point of time, sadly, Shamila. And I think more importantly as well, you try to also do what you can for yourself. And this is where we talk about controlling what we can do for ourselves, because there's things that we cannot control. So this is where we often talk about having certain routines that might work for you, making sure that you're taking care of yourself in terms of sleep, in terms of your stress management, making sure that your family is taken care of, making sure that you're following SOPs to prevent health complications from what's happening at the moment. Because that's all we can control. And the more that we can do that, probably the better in reducing some of these fears that we're having as a result of the future. Because that's the other thing, right? The uncertainty of the future itself creates anxiety. So trying to make a future that we can be a bit more certain might help.
Before we go into talking about those healthy habits and the like, I did want to just do a refresher, which is what should you be looking out for in yourself that lets you know that, okay, my anxiety levels are actually on the rise and this is something that I might need to put in place?
Well, I think there've been some literature in terms of how these kind of political instabilities cause mental health issues. And of course, the major one is going to be anxiety. And then sometimes individuals might actually be quite depressed, and it might also trigger some individuals to develop mental health issues. And I think the most common one is going to be problems with sleep. Second is going to be mood dysregulation, where individuals might be a little bit more moody. They might be a bit shorter than others. And I think it's really important for us to check with ourselves whether this is our normal self. And then, of course, reflect and see whether there are, you know, environmental issues that might cause us to be such, right? Being a little bit more angry than we should be, or reacting a little bit more strongly than we normally would. So these are normally the kind of symptoms that we would see for individuals that are struggling with the situation that we are in at the moment. Of course, if this situation prolongs, we know that people might struggle a little bit more for those at risk, and therefore the normal warning signs would be a change of behavior, total change of behavior. A person who's quiet becomes a bit very rowdy, a rowdy person becomes very, very quiet, and then, of course, the other common symptoms of, you know, thoughts of harming people or themselves, for example, are really some of the small little signs that things are not going the way that you like. But the very commonest one would be, of course, a change of sleep and a change of your mood and the way that you react to the environment.
So how can we draw up healthy boundaries between staying engaged with news, with current affairs, but not letting it adversely affect our personal lives?
Well, I think it's really important for us to know what our limits are. So, you know, if you're staying engaged and you're starting to get a little bit upset with what you're being engaged with, then, you know, it's probably time for you to stop. It's also important for us to understand and know from reliable sources so that you don't, get into a situation where you're receiving unnecessary news that you probably are unable to verify and therefore makes you a bit unhappy. Also knowing your circle and also who, you're engaging with. You might not be of the same opinion, and therefore, if it's really bothering you, that it's really time for you to disengage from that circle for a short while. And this could be either in person or through social media. We often see, you know, you might not need to block that person or remove that person, but at least you can mute that person for a while as this whole situation is going on, because people might be a bit more expressive and you might not be liking that. It's also really important to start developing an open mind and open opinion, because you know, people have opinions that they're, it's okay for them to express it. However, if it starts to affect you, then you could either, you know, change the way you think about it, or, as I've shared before, to disengage from that conversation for a little while. So these are some of the ways that we have done, and we've helped people to manage the situation that we're all in at the moment.
And how can we disengage healthily, especially if it's, you know, from people that we ordinarily really love and enjoy spending time with, and if we're conflict averse?
Well, you know, this is a really tough one, but we talk about being a little bit more assertive. And I think there have been some ground rules that sometimes some families have put and some friends have put. For example, certain WhatsApp group, you can discuss about everything, but not politics, because we know that will cause individuals to be at, you know, loggerheads with each other, for example. So setting the ground rules. Secondly is, of course, making your discomfort known, to people that you love. And, you know, if they respect you, then they would stay away from things that might, trigger you, for example. So these are some ways that we can actually do to minimize some of the harm that might happen as a result of the situation that is happening in front of us at the moment.
So perhaps quite understandably, there is this temptation to completely just shut out what's going on, right? And just choosing
Definitely.
To focus on ourselves, our immediate surroundings. What are the pros and cons of choosing this approach?
Well, of course, the cons is that you wouldn't know what's going on. And I think most of us would like to know what's going on. However, I think the pros, in a way, is definitely a better mental health, because that's your limit. You know, if you can't tolerate, the kind of bickering and the kind of discussion that's happening out there, which is, something that is going to happen, then definitely by disengaging yourself from it, you're going to be in a better space to take care of yourself. But the cons, of course, is that you'll be really left at the dark. You won't know what's going on, and you'll probably be waiting for, the situation to just unfold as it would be.
So going back to what you mentioned earlier, Dr. Ame, what are some good habits to cultivate for us to remain engaged but also safeguard our mental health? What steps can we take?
So I think the first one is we often talk about taking care of ourselves before we take care of others. So make sure that you're sleeping well, make sure that you're eating well, make sure that you're exercising, make sure that you're managing your stress. That's the first thing. And of course, during COVID, make sure that you're taking care of your SOPs, The second one, of course, is to know your limits. And I think all of us will know our limits, what is okay and what becomes not okay. If people are starting to insult each other, starting to cause a lot of disharmony, that's probably not okay for most people. And therefore, you'd want to do something about it. So if it's a person that you know, you probably want to tell them that you don't find this comfortable, and hopefully they would be able to stop. However, if you're on social media, where some of the time you don't even know who these people are, you could do a few things. You could either mute the conversation, block the person, remove the person, or you yourself take the action to remove yourself from social media for a period of time. Similarly, also with the news, because we know that there's going to be a lot of news happening over the next few days that might not be pleasant for some people. So I think in order for them to protect their mental health, it's probably better not to be knowing too much, or maybe just reading or watching television once a day rather than being on, internet, looking at what's happening as it unfolds, minute by minute, as they say, which definitely can cause some level of trepidation for some people.
What about people for whom this is their job or their cause, activists and the like? What advice would you have to avoid or mitigate burnout?
Well, I think for our colleagues that are, having no choice in having to go through this again, I think one is to understand why we are doing it. Find that sense of purpose might be able to reduce some of that anxiety. I know there's a journalist person I know who, the way that he tweets sounds, looks like there's a bit of exasperation there, despite that this is being, probably the stuff that he does most of the time. So actually, first, going back to why you're doing this, it's the bigger cause is actually to inform all of us here that might not know what's going on. The second one, of course, is to probably discuss with your own managers, because again, we are going through difficult and different times now. This is just not about what's happening in terms of the situation in the country, but also the world in terms of the ongoing pandemic and the consequences of it. So people are already burnt out, and they just need a little bit more to, push them across. So if you need to take that break, this is the time that you take it. And I think very importantly for them is to make sure that they, do take care of themselves as they're trying to help us to be informed.
Dr. Ame, we have a minute left with you. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think, it's really important that all of us keep at it in terms of caring for ourselves. This is a really important time that we are needing to make sure that we're keeping our mental health positive as well. One of the easiest ways I've shared over and over again is to make sure that you're sleeping well, and making sure that you're doing your regular exercises. And for some of us who might have some skills, do your relaxation exercises as well. And hopefully we'll be able to get over this very quickly.
Dr. Amir, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Amina.
That was Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, consultant psychiatrist at University Malaya Medical Center, talking to us about really how we can safeguard our mental health and try to stay sane in the midst of so many things going on that we simply cannot control. So we want to hear from you. How has Malaysian politics impacted your mental health? Sharmila and I have shared basically, if there is a tether, we are nearing the end of it. So we would like to know, how has it been for you? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for more of your messages after the 5:30 news. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.